Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Well, as we begin 2000, or about to begin 2013, today we're going to talk about a new way of thinking for the new year. And for the country as a whole, down to our personal lives, I'm sure all of us face challenges in 2013. For the country as a whole, we've just gone through a contentious election. The country seems still split roughly 50-50 between more government and less government. It's the most partisan politics that I can remember. I expect for you, too. We have ever-increasing U.S. federal debt. And now this ridiculous 2013 fiscal cliff created by our politicians, not to mention all the challenges going on in Europe and around the world. For your business, if you're a leader of a business, large or small, you're probably still battling your way out of recession, or you may be, and there's tons of uncertainty as we head into 2013 with the Affordable Care Act implementation of that, small business taxes, foreign trade, all those issues. And then there seems to be a general fear of the future, and that I just read in the Wall Street Journal that businesses are investing far less in equipment and business-type expenditures than they did a year ago, so they're worried about the future also. If you're an individual, your workplace, your family, your relationships, are you convinced that your boss, your spouse, your children, your co-workers, your customers are impossible to change? I know it seems like that sometimes. Have you and your spouse argue about most everything? Have your formerly huggable children turned into a teenagers who know it all and you can't really communicate with them? Maybe they're already doing a new way of thinking that you don't know about. How about you personally? Are you bogged down and discouraged with the same old, same old? Are you so wrapped up in the day-to-day, the challenges of earning a living and big thoughts or envision a bright future? Is fear of failure and the thought of growing old making you scared? And where did all that potential go? I know a lot of us, when we're in our 40s or 50s, are really disappointed with where we are now, and we wonder if our best days are all behind us. Well, instead of the same old tired process this New Year's Eve of the New Year's resolutions that generally, for me, are broken in the first couple of weeks of the new year, why not kick off 2013 with something different, a whole new way of thinking? And our guest today is going to introduce us to this approach, an approach to thinking she calls quantum think. Diane Collins is our guest. She's creator of the quantum think system, and she's a consultant to leading corporations, government offices, celebrities, and she's author of Do You Quantum Think? New Thinking That Will Rock Your World. And I would say we can certainly use some rocking in this world right now. Hello, Diane, and welcome to our program.
Thank you, Roy. It's a delight to be here. Even after that rant, you just gave really a pretty good picture of the set of circumstances we're in anyway.
Well, I know it's impossible to fully describe in a few minutes, but can you summarize for us a little bit about what quantum think is and how it differs from traditional ways of thinking, which I think you call the old world thinking?
Yeah, I'd love to, Roy. Everyone knows, and especially after we've just heard your intro, that we're in a time unlike any we've ever been in before. And I'm talking about, you know, the whole development of us as a humanity, as a people together who are more aware of each other.
Yeah.
And what's going on the planet because of our technological advances, which are fantastic. And that you can see that the thinking, as Einstein said, the thinking that created our problems is not sufficient to solving them. So how do we get to a new way of thinking? And what I found out is that a new way of thinking is more than just a clever or an innovative idea. Actually, it's not a new idea, but it's a new foundation for thinking. I'll expand on that a little bit. But what I wanted to say about this time we're in, and I'm especially glad that you're running this, at least for the first time, this show, Roy, at the beginning of a very auspicious new year in 2013, because we all realize that the thinking that gave rise to the systems and the institutions that we've been living in, and I'm talking about our governments, our educational system, even our judicial system, and the way that our business and world economy has been run, that it's time to go to a really new basis for thinking, one that acknowledges our interconnection, a new way of thinking that acknowledges our interdependence. And we all, you know, a bank in the United States, one of the large banks, could change the way they do accounting, and that can affect the economy of the whole world.
Yes,
and then, of course,
right.
on a personal level, as you pointed out, you know, you wonder, well, what about me? You know, what about my family? So, in essence, that was my little prelude to what is quantum think.
Yeah.
What I put together, and it is in Do You Quantum Think, the book, is a system of thinking. It's a system of principles that literally expands the way we relate to life for every area of life. And the main shift is that, and you know, what I call my revelation, is that we imagine we're choosing our thoughts, we're thinking independently, but actually everything in the universe, including the way we think, is in a system. It's systematic. Mm-hmm. And it's based in the assumptions of the prevailing worldview. So we're in a quantum world. We're in a quantum age that, you know, the new science has brought about this technology. And yet, our thinking is still very much conditioned by the old world industrial age. And the main shift is that was a matter-based, a physical-based, machine-like way of looking at reality. And now we're in a mind-based, where the discovery is that our thinking really does shape our reality. So how I say this in a nutshell is that what you said in your introduction, that you go from a circumstance, that's the physical, you could, you know, interpret that as a circumstantial-based reality, trying to manipulate our way around the circumstances, and making the leap to a mind-based reality, where when we can master the way we think and the dynamics and the faculties of our own mind, not the psychology, but actually the way that our mind works to create our experience and our results, and it's really getting a new relationship with our thoughts, that can shift the circumstances, including our experience of waking up every day, what we see is possible going into, you know, the second part of our life.
That doesn't sound too awfully different from the law of attraction, although I know law of attraction is only part of that. But, you know, we effectively attract what we think and what we imagine and visualize and emotionally have in our lives.
Well, that's true. You see, if you take, for example, you know, today, the law of attraction, which isn't specifically a scientific term, but that it relates to resonance. And this is what quantum thinking is not about science. It's about how these discoveries are shaping the way that we think and relate to our lives.
Yeah.
So when you take, you know, a little bit, you know, people know a little bit about energy healing or holistic healing. They know a little bit about, or not a little bit about, but people want to be more spiritually connected, not just a concept of your religion or spirituality, but to actually experience it, to experience your connection to life, to experience that there is purpose and meaning to your life. So when you put all these things together, so, you know, oh, thought creates reality, the law of attraction, resonance, you attract what you resonate, what you emanate. Unless you can see them, how they work together, and how this is really how we can get in touch with becoming more effective in the way that we create results, then it's just, you know, it's a good, it becomes, it's not, it's more than a good idea, you know, like the law of attraction. You might know a little here, a little there, a little there, like pieces of the puzzle. But what we want is we want to be able to see and function in the whole picture.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It makes sense somewhat, although I warn you that physics was my worst course in high school. So
well, you want to know something? You want to know what? I didn't even take physics in high school.
No, I you know, I don't, it's like the computer. I don't really understand all the how somebody creates the computer, but I know how to use it. And that's really the important thing here, is that we don't need to understand all the theory of quantum thinking. We just need to do it.
Exactly. And, you know, this was really, when I was growing up, you know, like people say, well, how did you come up with quantum thinking, a new way of thinking? It's because I heard these things along the way. First of all, I looked in the world and I thought, well, you know, there's a discrepancy between how we, you know, all the wisdom, as I say, available now at the touch of a smartphone, 6,000 years or more.
Yeah.
We have all the wisdom. We have all the knowledge. We have all the how-tos. We have all the great information. And yet, it looked to me, we're still not living it. What's missing?
No,
right?
Well, is there hope, you know, is there hope for people like us in our 40s, 50s, and 60s? I think the younger generation is getting quantum thinking probably a lot more than we do. I know they grew up with a computer, and they're growing up with multitasking and all those kind of things that, you know, us old fogies aren't too good at. Is there any hope
well,
for us?
Well, it's more than
thing?
A computer. Yeah, of course, because it's more. Here's what I discovered, okay?
Yeah.
It's not, as I said, it's not about the science, but what you don't realize is that these silent, like, beliefs and ideas, excuse me, about the way things work. Let me give you an example so you understand it. So the old science said it's a machine like, you know, the universe is machine. Figure out how it works, cause and effect, and, you know, only the physical is real. So everything is that we do in our society is around the physical five senses. Well, in the physical realm, which, of course, is important, that's the realm we live in, but it's multidimensional. But in the, if you just go in the physical, we look different, you know, you're black, I'm white, you're yellow, I'm red, you're a different religion. You know, all the differences come out. And they said it was a, so therefore, you know, what gets born of that? What gets born of that is discrimination, bigotry, and all the rest. Because we're not in the experience of our interconnection, where the new science says there are no actual separations. We're a part of the earth. We're a part of each other. We're breathing in. You know, we know we can't live with more than a few minutes, but we don't have these things in our experience. So how does that shape our thinking? Well, when you begin to quantum think, you begin to look from the whole. So instead of thinking, my life, okay, I'm 40, I'm 50. I haven't really achieved what I wanted to achieve. That would be how the old world separation, linear, step-by-step, compartmentalized, would have you think about your life. But from a quantum thinking perspective, you would see your life as one whole story. you would see life as multidimensional.
Yeah.
You would see that you have an opportunity now in this dramatic time of change for all of us to step into something new for yourself. And you can look at your life. Actually, this is one of the distinctions. It's called the whole movement of purpose. It means that even though parts of our life are hidden from view, it's still connected to the whole. So if you look at your life like one, you know, whole screenplay or novel, and you realize that it's a purposeful, meaningful life. I mean, infinite intelligence, Roy, you know, you and I know this, is beyond what any of us could even fathom.
Yeah.
But we, as you said, you don't know how something works, but you know it works. So we don't know how this universe works, this life works. Something, you know, a great creative force. But we know that we're here, and we know the talents that we've been given. So when you're looking at the whole of your life, you look at it more like an unfolding, like you go through different cycles and different evolutions, even in your own lifetime, Roy.
Yeah.
So you think, well, infinite intelligence gave me those experiences, you know, had me be born into that family and have that experience of either, you know, a father I was afraid of or a father I admired, whatever the experience is for you. And I went through these different, I know for you that you went through different aspects of your career, that you were in corporate life and then you were an entrepreneur and now you're a coach and you developed a new way of coaching and counseling people at this point in their life, right?
Yeah.
So when you look at your whole of your life and you see that, as I call it, infinite intelligence trains us to deliver on our purpose.
And it's still out there for us to grasp other portions of it and
bring
exactly
it into our
lives going forward. And it doesn't matter how old we are, really. We could be 80, 85, and we could still grasp that and bring new aspects into our life.
That's it. And if you see it, you see, when I say a new foundation for thinking, it's not just a new idea like, oh, isn't that a great idea? I could have a purpose now. It's actually the whole of it. It's looking at, oh, really? Everything is in whole systems. My life is a whole story. And my life is still going. So the story is still unfolding, and the beauty of it is it's not fated, like, you know, predestined. You may have predestined tendencies, but then this is where we're given the free will, the awareness to distinguish our talents, to distinguish what we're passionate about now going forward, and to be able to create.
The great parallels of my book, A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and the first section of your book is entitled Wake Up, and you say the wake-ups are those who are aware of the absurdities of their prior way of thinking, and the other thing I like about it, it's waking up through internal choice, motivation. It's not a jarring external event like a divorce, loss of a job, or you mentioned 9/11 or a disaster or something like that that wakes a whole bunch of people up. We don't want that kind of waking up. We want waking up on our own because we want to wake up to the infinite possibilities that are out there.
Exactly. And when you look at what I, you know, just what we started off talking about, the big picture, you're bringing up such an important point. Because either way, we're going to wake up.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, you know, even if we take, for example, so I say, what's it going to be? You know, I wrote the book, as you know, in the first person, conversational, try to be entertaining and fun to read at the same time that you're getting, you know, the idea of Do You Quantum Think, the book, is to connect to your own awareness and to, you know, have your own awakening as you read.
Yeah.
Because these ideas are in us. So when someone distinguishes it, I call it a new worldview of learning, the art of distinguishing, to bring something into your awareness in such a way that it alters your relationship to it. So what you're bringing up about this, so I say, what's it going to be, crisis awakening or conscious awakening?
Yeah,
now, we've had a lot of crisis awakening. We still do. I'm not saying that anything is right or wrong about it, but I'm saying what you are distinguishing right now, Roy, which is, let's not wait to get, you know, hit over the head with a 2x4 by universal intelligence.
Yeah.
Let's take it on. Let's be proactive. Let's wake ourselves up.
That's the problem that we have with our politicians. Too much of their awakening is crisis awakening. They keep kicking the can down the road until a crisis occurs, and then they wake up. Let's, we have a little bit of understanding of what the quantum thinking is. Let's apply that to a few of the various levels that people may be interested in, starting with the President and Congress to solve the problems. I noticed in one of your blogs you mentioned you would like as a birthday present that Barack Obama read your book. And how about every member of Congress and Senate read that book as well?
I know, it's true.
What do you think, how could the politicians go about using quantum thinking to get over some of these fiscal cliffs and other ridiculous things that they've created?
Well, I'll tell you something. You know, just as a point of reference, to get to that question, during the end of the Clinton administration and the beginning of the Bush, my husband and my partner in business, Alan Collins, and I do the consulting together in Quantum Think Consulting. We call it Strategic Quantum Think Consulting. And we've been doing it for over 15 years. So when I finally put it, you know, everything into a book, it was to make it available to everyone because we know it works. So what happened was one of our clients from AT&T was also interested in politics. And through quantum thinking, he realized that it didn't have to be an either-or world. That's one of the old-world industrial ways of thinking. You know, they wanted to predict and control nature, so it would have to be like, well, is it this way or that way? Is it black or white? Is it conservative or liberal? What is it?
Yeah.
Whereas with the quantum thinking, it's a both-and. Is energy a particle or a wave? Well, it's both. You know, so, again, we're applying it to thinking. So what happened is, he couldn't figure out, you know, before quantum thinking, well, how could he be, you know, senior vice president at AT&T and then, you know, quantum thinking, do politics. So he realized he could do both. And this is important for people, you know, realizing you don't have to pick one or the other. You can work out how can you have it work in your life to do everything you want. And he wrote a book called Politics in the Information Age. And Clinton got a hold of it, read it, passed it around, and P.S., Vice President then Al Gore, hired this gentleman, his name is Morley Winograd, as his senior policy advisor to come in and he was in charge of many things as senior policy advisor, but he did what's called National Partnership for Reinventing Government. And anyway, we did work with these. It was a temporary, you know, like a temporary bringing together 250 people from the various called high-impact citizen agencies. And they would go back to their agencies after they were quantum thinking, and then they would call us and go, can you come in? It's very dark here. Because it did make such a difference for people to get along. So when I said that, and I did meet Barack Obama at a friend's house who gave him one of his during the end of the primary. So I met him, but I still didn't get my book to him yet. But, the idea is that this did make a difference for people because when you deal in government or you deal with anyone, really, you know, there's such, as you know, there is people are holding on to their point of view.
Yeah, that's
so tightly, right?
Yeah.
That's causing the divisiveness. But when you realize and you start to awaken yourself and you start to realize, well, wait a minute, maybe it doesn't have to be either big government or small government. Maybe we can practice another level of mastery in thinking, the art of distinguishing. What does it make sense in, you know, right now, in this moment in time, what does it make sense for government to fund and to manage?
Yeah.
What does it not make sense to fund and manage?
Yeah,
and
we just had a prior program where the guest talked about common sense, and we sure could use more of that.
Yeah,
but
and you
quantumly thought out common sense, not the old common sense.
Right, and you know what? The old common sense, because it was what I would say, you know, it was literally called classical mechanical worldview that gave rise to the age of machinery, the industrial age, a brilliant, beautiful age that's still a part of our culture, but we've gone beyond it. So when you think, well, in many ways, we became automatic in our thinking. So when you cling on to the one side or another, and you don't realize, and this is really where I want to have it be very personal for everyone listening in being in this conversation with us right now, Roy, is that when you realize that we exist in fields of energy and information, this is, you know, it's science, but just we know it in a very ordinary way. You walk into a room where people have just been arguing, you can feel it.
Yeah, you
walk in, right?
Yep,
you walk into a room where people are happy and enjoying, you can feel it. You don't even have to hear what they say. So we sense this field where we are connected through this invisible kind of energetic, intelligent connection, emotional. But what happens is that most of the automatic thoughts that we have, I call them least action pathways, the way the energy or the thought goes, simply because it's been that route before.
Yeah.
So when we have these automatic thoughts, and this is where I think it can be very, very helpful for people, that you recognize, wait a minute, I didn't choose that thought. So I call it the thought-o-sphere. You know, there's a biosphere, there's a thought-o-sphere. These thoughts are coming in. You know, they're coming in through advertising, through the common, you know, the collective culture, through the automatic habits from the past that we now have to, you know, take a quantum leap from. But we don't have, just because we have a thought does not make it the truth. Just because we have a thought visiting, passing through our mind, doesn't mean we have to latch on to it and own it as our own. And this is what really I can really, present and provide to people today, right now, that you can do this right now.
Yeah, start thinking about what you're thinking.
You can create a new relationship with your thinking as a whole, with your thoughts, so that if you have a thought, and you know how does that work? We have a thought, we give that thought meaning. That meaning gives us our experience. It can give us sometimes a neutral or an emotional experience. We emanate that out, and then we attract in whatever our habitual way of thinking is. So, you know, when we say very commonly, we have a bad hair day, right? You wake up.
My wife says that all the time.
Right. Something goes wrong. And then if you latch on to that habit rather than interrupt that least action pathway, then, you know, the universe will provide. You'll continue to have, you know, this went wrong and I got a flat tire and all the other little things. And even though, and this goes back to old worldview, circumstance rules, new worldview, intent rules. Intent is one of the faculties of mind that is the actual dynamic of creation that we've been divinely bestowed with, you know, at birth.
Yeah.
And intent is something you use consciously with the awareness that you're doing so. So when you have, you know, you could have like yesterday you woke up, you felt great. Today you woke up, you felt lousy. What changed in
Monday.
The circumstance? What?
Because it was Monday, probably.
Yeah, well, nothing. Nothing changed in the circumstances.
Yeah.
This is the power of mind. So when you have this kind of automatic least action pathway thoughts visiting into your thoughtosphere, you can recognize it, create a new relationship with it. Wait a minute. I didn't choose that thought. I would not choose to think of myself in any disparaging way.
Yeah.
I can interrupt it. I can say, let me create an intent. How do I want this day to go?
So we're just about out of time, but what would be one recommendation you would give to somebody just starting out, as we all are, starting out a new year? What would be the one thing we'd try to do or we'd do to learn how to quantum think and to bring that into our lives?
I'll give you something very simple. And this is one of the practices. For each of the 21, it's called distinctions or principles, that make up a system, there is a practice to put it into life. Because this is not about knowing more. This is about actually integrating it, living it. So this
yeah.
is what you do. The practice is called listen from not knowing. Think of not knowing as one hyphenated word.
Yeah.
Now, we don't automatically listen from not knowing. So this is a conscious act. This awakens your awareness just to do this. What does it mean to listen from not knowing? You're sitting across the table from the person you love having breakfast, and that person starts talking. It could be your child, your husband, your wife, your partner, whatever.
Yeah.
And you think you know them. Well, in a sense, you do know them. Maybe you have 20 years with them or whatever. But you, as a conscious act, could say, in this moment, let me listen from not knowing.
Huh.
And what happens is it shifts, it literally creates a transformation in the relational field between you, even though you didn't say it out loud. You just consciously say to yourself, let me listen from not knowing. I do this with my husband, Alan, because he is my partner. We do work together. We've been together 20-something years. And what happens is the person, you'll hear them in a whole new way. And solutions can arise from this kind of knowing, not knowing, rather, that
yeah.
from this kind of listening, from not knowing, that couldn't have come up when you're crowding it with what you already know. So if you're thinking about yourself, the most important part of this, Roy,
yeah.
that I could recommend, as we're going forward, as this time frame, this time period, is really asking us to put ourselves out there in a new way, And to listen to yourself from not knowing. To listen to yourself from not knowing, well, I failed in the past, or this didn't work, or I'm in a job I don't like, or I tried this business, whatever it is, a relationship, and say, how can I hear myself in a new way?
Yeah. How can I break out of the mold and listen from not knowing? You know I'm going to fail at this. You know, so many times you hear that kind of thought process because I've always failed in the past. Why not think from not knowing that you're not going to succeed, or that you think you know what your spouse is going to say because she said it or he said it many times before, but think you don't know what really motivates them, and maybe you'll learn an entirely new set of viewpoints from their side of the table, and some solutions that you hadn't even thought of before.
That's exactly right. And you know, when somebody's saying something, right? When you're speaking, and tell me if this ever had this experience, that you're speaking, and the other person is just waiting for you to finish.
Yeah, that happens all
right?
the time.
And
you
so
don't
they can
almost
get
know
in.
What they're going to say.
Right. So you've already got it rehearsed. Right. They've already got it rehearsed. But I'm not saying we all do this because this is what I call the old least action pathways, these mechanical habits from the past. Right. But let's say, what does that do to us as the speaker in our experience? We want to have our message heard, connected to. And when somebody's listening from knowing, and it's just an automatic, there's nothing wrong with us. We've just reached a state in our own evolutionary development as people where we're ready for this literal quantum leap in consciousness and mind. So what does it do to you? Have you had that experience where you feel crowded in the space, like you can't get your thought out?
Well, I would suggest a highly valuable thing for the new year would be to get a hold of your book. Can you tell people how they can find that book? I'm sure there's a lot of ways to find it, but what's the best way somebody can get your
well,
book?
Well, the best way to find it is to, well, you can, the inexpensive way to find it is on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. You know, they discount everything, but you can find it online. You can find it in bookstores. If they don't have it, you can order it. I don't sell my book directly because, you know, it's only sold through booksellers.
Yeah.
And yet, but you can see it on my own website. And my website is my name, Diane Collins, and it's D-I-A-N-N-E-C-O-L-L-I-N is in Nancy, S is in Sam, .com. DianeCollins.com.
Yeah, don't forget the two N's when you're doing that because it...
Right, or you'll get a totally different website. So it's DianeCollins.com where you can see, you know, I have a link to Barnes & Noble and Amazon there for ease of, but you'll also read, there's also something on there that I wanted to let your listeners know about, and that is for the last year and a half, we don't do it live anymore, but we had what I call Ultimate Study Group. It was a study group for readers of the book, Do You Quantum Think? New Thinking That Will Rock Your World. And it's all replays are archived on the site. So when you start reading, you can get, you know, additional thinking from myself and Alan in these audios. And, you know, there's a lot of other things on there. But I really do... Of course, when you write a book, as you know as an author, you want people to read it.
Yeah.
And I want people not only to buy it and read it, I want people to use it. And it really, people do consider it a companion, right, for life. Because, and like people like to use it, my husband calls it the oracle, where you can open it anywhere and get an connect intuitively to a message, something you're thinking about, and that does work every time. Not because it's my book, but because that is part of these new faculties of mind, that when you have an intent for an answer to something, and you're reading something like, it could be any book, but I'm saying it works very well with Do You Quantum Think, because it has all the principles in there, that you open it and you'll connect in to the exact message you need in that moment.
And
so
don't just
make
read it
fun.
Once. Like you say, you don't just read it through once and put it aside to collect dust, because it's very useful. And
right. It isn't that kind of book. It's more like, as I say, it's something that you use. It's a companion. And remember, listen from not knowing. I mean, that is really, if you did nothing else but just consciously practice, listen from not knowing, when you're watching TV, when you're looking on the internet, when you're hearing, you know, what you think is the opposing political party, listen from not knowing, for what value does that point of view bring?
Yeah, that's very interesting. Well, I want to thank you so much, Diane, for being our guest today, and once again, that her website is www.dianecollins.com, and we certainly appreciate, and I hope everyone will listen from not knowing as they start the new year out. And thank you so much for joining us, Diane.
Thank you so much, Roy. It's been a pleasure.
Well, in introducing our next guest, I'd like to relay a story from my book, A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up. A few years ago, I noticed a couple of women from our church in the community room after worship service, and one woman was visibly shaken, and she said, "My husband just lost his job last week, 1 month after we bought and moved into our beautiful new home. It just couldn't have come at a worse time." And her friend patted her on the shoulder and said, "We don't know that yet." A setback in your life, a job loss, a breakup, a serious illness, just may be a blessing in disguise. That's what our next guest is going to say. It could turn out to be one of the best things that ever happened. For better or worse, it's your wake-up call. Our guest today is Dora Noodleman, holistic life coach, personal development writer, and she's founder and principal of the consulting company, the Quality of Life Advisors Group, and she's also author of You Are Here, How to Awaken Your Potential and Live Your Greatest Life Now. Hello, Dora, and welcome to our program.
Hi, how are you? I'm glad to be here.
Well, I'm pretty good, too. Glad to be here myself. Most of us over 40 have or will experience major setbacks in our lives, and unfortunately for some, that may happen in 2013 if it hasn't happened already. How do you find meaning within the madness and turn a setback into a blessing in disguise?
Well, first thing you have to remember that there's always a lesson in everything. So if something's not going the way that you would like it to, there's usually or quite often a reason. It's either because you're not aligned with what it is that you're wanting to receive, and so you're kind of contradicting yourself with your emotions and your behaviors and your habits, and so you're attracting things that you think that are bad for you, but really they're just kind of reflecting your own beliefs about who you are and what you believe in and what you want. At the same time, you have to understand that we don't always know the meaning behind everything. So like you had mentioned in your intro, sometimes you think something is bad, but it could be a catalyst for something much better.
Yeah.
So it could be perhaps you've not been following through on guidance that you've been receiving or hints as to which direction to go in. And so because of fear and doubt, we sometimes stay in our same patterns and we refuse to change our behavior. And because of that, sometimes wake-up calls are necessary.
Yeah.
And they seem, not so entertaining in the moment, but when they come, you have to see them as, okay, let me see, what's the lesson here? What can I learn from this? And how can I use it as a catalyst to create something better?
Well, the big issue for me, and this has been a case a couple times in my life, and job loss is, how do you put the past behind you speedily and move forward when you're probably in panic? You know you're not going to have a paycheck coming in for long, or you may have financial issues. You may be afraid you're going to lose your house. You have all these panic modes setting in, and yet you need to sit back and reflect on what you're going to do next in your life and align yourself with what your true purpose is. How can you do that when you're in a panic?
Well, you can't. That's why it's so important to get out of the panic.
Yeah.
And the thing to remember is worry and anxiety and panic aren't actually going to make anything better. It's kind of futile. We think that somehow worry is going to solve our problems, but it makes things worse because it clouds our judgment. And
So
we have to find ways, even if it's through meditation and, really accepting the moment as it is. You have to accept where you are, what's happened, and then find a place in yourself where you have this inner peace and understand that everything's going to be okay, and everything is okay. So, as soon as you get out of that worry mode, that's when your solutions are going to come forth. So, you have to do whatever it takes, whatever your personality dictates or whatever tools you've learned or come up against to clear yourself away from that worry and anxiety and to realize that it's not going to make anything better. So you might as well push that out of the way and get on with it.
Well, let's assume that there's no major crisis right now, but things aren't all that great. Maybe I'm not very excited about what I do for a living, or my marriage has not been very passionate for a long time. How do you recognize signs that your life may need new directions before they reach that ugly climax? And I like to say, how about bringing your own wake-up call positively instead of waiting for a negative wake-up call?
Yeah, I'm 100% in agreement with you. That's actually one of my mottos as well, is to be proactive and not wait for that wake-up call. So, you know, the first thing you can realize when you're feeling unfulfilled, when you're feeling frustrated, confused, and even indifferent, when you start feeling like there's a lot of struggle and stress in your life, that's usually a sign that something's off. You know, you're not happy,
yeah.
So instead of waiting for it to all accumulate, you know, recognize those signs that if you're not happy, you have to do something about it immediately, because if you're going to keep waiting, it's not going to get better. So, you know, if you're waiting for something to miraculously appear, something to happen to make you happy, that's not just not going to work. You know,
no.
You're always going to find something that's going to dissatisfy you. So
in other
finding
words,
that
I can't go out and buy a Powerball ticket and win $425 million and everything will be great.
You know what? It might be great for 5 minutes, but those issues are still going to be there, right? So
yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Well, what are some bold choices you can make to align joyfully with your true purpose in life, even if they challenge the status quo? I know that's so scary. You know, you're always in a box, and it's tough to think outside the box for me and for a lot, I'm sure, of other people that are listening.
Well, the first thing to remember is, you know, you don't need anyone's approval to live your life. And I think that's where a lot of people get caught up. They seek for validation and approval, and they want people to agree with them to validate that they're on the right track and that their decisions are accurate for themselves. But if you're authentic with your desires and you really feel whole and complete and true about what you want in life, then you should go for it. You shouldn't worry about what other people are going to think of you, because someone's going to disapprove of you one way or the other. So you might as well just go forward and live your life to the best and fullest capacity that you can.
Yeah, so long as you're not intentionally harming anyone else, there's no reason to live your life strictly for someone else.
Absolutely.
You gotta live, well, obviously you can live it for your spouse or for your children or whatever, but you also have to live it for yourself, because if you're not happy, you're not going to make them happy, I don't think, over time.
Amen.
Well, we don't have much more time, but tell people how they can get your book, because it's definitely totally in line with what we're telling our listeners here on a Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, in my book, and on our program, Midlife Can Be Your Best Life. Where can you get You Are Here and How to Awaken Your Potential and Live Your Greatest Life Now?
It's really easy. Just go to www.youarehearthebook.com.
Oh, okay. I also noticed you have a website, qualityoflifeadvisors.com, where you're offering some new one-on-one coaching opportunities coming in 2013. Could you tell us a little about that? Because somebody may be interested in that one-on-one coaching.
Yeah, absolutely. I have a new ebook coming out in probably in January or February of 2013, and it's called 1 Week to Happy.
Oh.
And it's basically a guideline as to how to become a happier person and live a happier life really within 1 week, and how to get that momentum going. So
that'd be a great start to 2013 to get a book.
Exactly, exactly. So I have a coaching offer that will align with that book. So anyone who's read that book and be interested in further coaching, they can actually go to my website, qualityoflifeadvisors.com, and they can contact me and find out more information.
Yeah, you have a one-month live coaching program on the phone, and it really sounds like an interesting opportunity if someone wants to get a jump start to a happy future. And I would highly recommend both the book and going to that website. Look, that other website is www.qualityoflifeadvisors.com.
Yep, that's exactly it.
Well, we certainly appreciate you being on the show today, and thank you so much, and hope people respond positively.
Thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed it.
Well, this may be the last chance I have to wish you a happy holidays, so I want to take this opportunity to wish you and yours a most joyous holiday season and a renewed and prosperous 2013. And if you'd like an ideal last-minute gift, I would highly recommend my book, A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up. This would be great for anyone you know that is of middle age and is not fully satisfied with where their life is today and is missing out for the potential for a wonderful, joyful second half of life. And the book is available in ebook form, so it's guaranteed to be there by Christmas Day. To order the book, you can either go to Amazon.com and look up A Midlife Challenge Wake Up by Roy Richards, or you can go directly to our website, www.middleagerenewal.com, and order the book through the website. And once again, may I take this opportunity to wish a joyful holiday season for you and your family.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.